This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
If you want some idea of what food and consumer goods will cost tomorrow, check out the price of diesel today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. How does $4.45 a gallon sound? Not good at all if you drive a truck these days, because that's the new national average for diesel fuel, and it factors into the prices we're going to be paying for most everything else, since that's the fuel used for most trucks, trains, and ships. Refiners are reported to be putting more focus on turning out diesel because it's more profitable. Diesel is up 56% over the last year, compared to a 20% rise in gasoline. And get this, there's also some concern being reported by the Associated Press today that diesel market could tighten even further because of the extra demand in China to run emergency power generators after the big earthquake. Meanwhile, with the price of gasoline at record highs, there are growing police reports around the country for stolen gas. We're talking gas siphoning from the tanks of parked cars. And that newly popular crime is sparking another boom, as Jeremy Hobson reports.
If you want to do something unethical, there's no better place to be than K Street in Washington, D.C. So I'm just going to walk over to a gas tank of a random car here, open it up, unscrew the lid, and bam, free gas.
The fact that it was so easy for me to do that is what has Americans worried about the increasingly valuable liquid investments in the tanks of their cars. So they're heading to the auto parts store in search of a $20 locking gas cap. You need a separate key to open it. Chris Hoffman represents a company called Stant, one of the nation's largest gas cap manufacturers.
Sales over the last few months have just been growing like crazy for locking gas caps. As gas prices go up, sales go up.
Hoffman says sales are almost three times what they were a year ago. So maybe somebody is happy that the national average for a gallon of gas is now almost $3.78. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Yesterday's temporary pullback in oil prices helped fuel the Wall Street rally that added 94 points to the Dow, a gain of almost 0.75%. The Nasdaq muscled up almost 1.5%. The S&P 500 gained 1%. Those easing oil prices, by the way, didn't last long. This morning, the stock market will be contending with the news the cost of crude is back on the rise. Pharmaceutical companies are rushing to create the latest anti-cancer drug these days, and with good reason. Cancer has overtaken heart disease as the number one cause of death for people in their 40s and 50s. And according to a new study, oncology drug sales are setting a new pace. Janet Babin reports from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The IMS Health study found that the cancer drug market will grow to $80 billion by 2012. Changing diets and environmental factors have increased the cancer risk for people in Brazil, India, and China. Kim Lyerly is director of the Duke University Comprehensive Cancer Center.
In China, they have twice the population of individuals over the age of 65 that the U.S. does. And as you can imagine, this creates an enormous potential for cancer to creep up.
And for drug companies to move in. Pharmaceutical firms with big research and development budgets stand to benefit most from new cancer therapies. But Titus Patel with IMS says oncology drugs are not immune to market pressures.
Some of these products that have been coming online are actually starting to come off patent now.
That will make them vulnerable to cheaper generics. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The World Trade Organization has some advice, or shall we say pressure, for the United States. It says the world's biggest trader could help stabilize the global economy by cutting trade barriers to its markets. It's also pushing the U.S. to boost exports to deal with its trade imbalance. A draft report from the WTO says further adjustment and reforms by the U.S. would lessen distortions in world markets and strengthen the global trading system.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Bush wrapped up his visit to Israel today. He was there to celebrate the State of Israel's 60th birthday. Also there to mark the occasion was a Jerusalem conference of Jewish innovators. Among them, Nobel laureates, world-class artists and scientists, and the founders of Google and Yahoo. Which begs the question, why are there so many of them? Reporter Daniel Estrin has been looking for some answers in Jerusalem.
Israel is the 100th smallest country in the world, and it's under constant threat from its neighbors. But it bears an impressive resume. It has the largest number of engineers, scientists, and PhDs per capita in the world. It trades more stocks on NASDAQ than any other country besides Canada and the U.S. Instant messaging was invented here, so was the USB memory flashcard. So all of this begs for an explanation. I asked the question to Nadav Kidron, the CEO of Oramed, a company introducing a new way of delivering insulin through a pill. What's the secret? Why are Israelis so successful at all of these breakthroughs?
Natural resources we do not have. With our neighbors to do business right now, it's going to take some time and only in the future. So I think the only resource that we have is really to use the brain power.
Baroness Susan Greenfield is a member of the British House of Lords and a scientist. She has another theory.
I think in Jewish culture there's a respect for education, which creates the right environment for the human brain to flourish and for individuality to really push itself to its limits.
Fred Worms, a British philanthropist, says it's in the gene.
We're under continuous persecution. You had to make way extra efforts to sustain yourself. Your DNA conditioning, not over two or three generations, but over 2,000 or 3,000 years.
Israel is largely made up of immigrants, many well-educated professionals who left because of hardship in the former Soviet Union. A history of persecution, poor relations with the neighbors, doesn't sound like the makings of success. But psychologist and entrepreneur Ofer Grossbard says all this adversity forces innovation.
If everything falls in place and I'm not worried about the future, I have less motivation. I'll have less initiative.
Israeli President Shimon Peres has his own take on Israeli business smarts. He says Israel's innovation can be traced to one word, chutzpah, or audacity. In Jerusalem, I'm Daniel Estrin for Marketplace.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Want a replay? Head to marketplace.org. Hey, we all made it to the weekend. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.